Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to our 8:45 worship service here at West End UMC. My name is Will, and it's a joy to be with you in worship this day. And I want to invite all of us who are members of this church to fill out our attendance form in the pew right in front of you, and those who are worshiping online to mark your attendance as well. If you're new with us, we would love for you to share with us that you're new so that we can invite you into the life of this church. And also, it's a special Sunday in that right after this 8:45 worship service on the fourth story, right outside the theater, we will be hosting a new membership class. And this can be your first Sunday, or this can be after years of discernment where you are wondering about new membership here at West End. Regardless of where you are in your discernment, we want you to come and be a part of that conversation, again, right after worship in the fourth story outside the theater. You can go out these doors, take a right, go up the stairs, and one of our greeters will gladly lead you that way. The other announcement for the good of our flourishing in common life is that in 2 weeks, on Sunday evening, we will be hosting our large church gathering. We're going to have a potluck with the prophets. Those of you who've been reading through the Bible, you have worked through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel over the course of this last month. No small task. And so in 2 weeks, we'll be gathering from 5 to 7 in McWhirter Hall to host a celebration, a potluck with the prophets, as Pastor Carol will lead us in that conversation. Might we be grounded in worship as we come to God in spirit and truth.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless God's name.
Tell of God's salvation every day.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of living waters, we have hope that one day Ezekiel's vision of water and new life will come true. But we also know that we have a long way to go to get there. Forgive us for the ways we have harmed your creation. Forgive us for the ways we have harmed our neighbors. Forgive us for the ways we have rebelled against your love. Forgive us, O God, and help us forgive. Turn our hard hearts into hearts of flesh. May we be people of love, mercy, and justice. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And for those of us in the sanctuary, you know what to do. And for those of you watching online, we invite you to send a peace to a friend over text or in chat. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Please pray with me the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Old Testament, Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. The river from the temple. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There, water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faced toward the east. And the water was coming out on the south side, going on eastward with a cord in his hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on the one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Araba. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets, and its fish will be of a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. On the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. Because the water for them flows from the sanctuary, their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." The word of God for the people of God.
We invite our children to come forward and to come meet me. I've got a special prop for this children's lesson. Awesome. There's so many of you. Thank you for coming up. Hey, y'all. We're overflowing. All right, friends, I have a question. Can anybody tell me what this is?
A net.
It's a net. And what do you use a net for?
To catch fish.
That's exactly right. And this net's honestly so big, I could probably catch some of you if I wanted to scoop you up. What's cool about this net, too, is it's so tall that you can use it to walk. And so if you're walking in a river and it's kind of unsettled, you can walk. And so then when you catch a fish, you can scoop it up. What we heard the prophet sharing was this vision of a tiny little trickle of water. Do your faucets in your home ever trickle? You ever see like a trickle of water, maybe from your water bottle or anything like that? Just imagine the smallest little bit of water. And the prophet sees that. And then as he follows down this river, the course of this river, he's walking with this guide, and the river becomes so unstable and so full of life that he needed help walking. And then it continues where this river enters into the Dead Sea and brings about life in such a way that people from all over the surrounding area flock to go fishing. But what I want you to hear is that this vision of a river, yeah, please feel free to touch it. You're welcome to hold it if you want. It's pretty heavy. This vision of a river is not just something that is happening like way out there or in times of old, but also this is a vision. This is a vision of how God is at work in your life. And you want to hold it too? There you go. And in the smallest way possible, let's not cover each other up. In the smallest way possible, you can bring about life and renewal in the world. And before we do any permanent damage, I'm going to pray for us. Because wherever the river goes, everything will flow. Let's pray. Gracious God, I pray that you would be with these, the youngest disciples of our church, that you would work in their lives in such wonderful and mysterious ways, that they would lead us all to grow up into Christ. Bless them in this moment of teaching. Might your truth sink deeply in their hearts. All of this we ask by your grace and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, friends, I'm going to invite you to follow Shannon and Miss Maggie as y'all go to Children's Church. Thank you. 3, 4, and 5. Yeah. All right, friends, I want to thank Henry for reading scripture and to remind all of you that we are in a year-long reading of the Bible as we're finding our story in God's larger story. And I want to share with you something that is quite humorous I learned this week, and that is that in ancient Jewish tradition, Ezekiel is a book so filled with long visions and allegories. It's a book that at times is so graphic that apparently in ancient Jewish traditions, children were not to read it. And not only that, young preachers were not to preach from it for fear that they would confuse people. So we thought it would be perfect for the Sunday when children read and the new preacher's first Sunday. So I would love your prayers with me in this moment. Gracious God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine with me a moment, a memory in your life that was so flooded with life that you knew that that is what it meant to be fully alive. A moment teeming with joy, so enriched by friendship, so profound in gratitude that, again, you knew this must be life. Imagine it with me. For me, an image of a river actually comes to mind. Last summer, when we were on sabbatical, our family was traveling through Colorado, and we oriented our whole trip around a one-night stay in the quaint town called Buena Vista. It's in the Arkansas River Valley. And we splurged on getting a hotel room with a patio because we didn't want to be under hotel arrest. Anybody who's ever traveled with young children, whether they be your own children, family members' children, or friends' children, you know what hotel arrest is, right? It's when your kids go to sleep at 6:45 and this vacation night is spent with you in a pitch black room, sound machines blaring, looking at your phone for some source of freedom. We call it hotel arrest. I see some people nodding their heads. So we splurged on getting a room with a patio so that when the kids went to sleep, Kate and I could actually enjoy our vacation, right? Here's the only part of the plan that went poorly. The kids didn't sleep. And so after countless efforts to direct their course towards sleep, our curated vision of peace was so interrupted that we gave up and we decided to go on a stroll along the Arkansas River. The river was so filled with life. Trout rising in ripples to the evening catch of the caddis. Kayakers cutting through currents. Dogs paddling in plunge pools. Young and old gathering along this river of life. And I was filled with this incredible gratitude that this river that oriented the first 18 years of my life growing up in Little Rock, Arkansas, could bring such connection and joy 1,200 miles upstream and many chapters of life later. We imagined the perfect date night. We were directed to the river of life. Maybe that image for you of being fully alive involves a memory of a place or an experience or even the face of a special person. But maybe too, no memory, no image comes to mind. Maybe it is that you are so disconnected from life in this present moment that all you can see is the pain points of the present. All you can imagine is that empty chair at your dinner table, or the line of an answered text to a former friend, the scan that came from the doctor and the report that followed. Maybe all you can see is the dried up rivers of our own planet, the scenes of violence from Ukraine and from Nashville this previous March. And if that's where you are today, struggling to imagine what it means to be fully alive, I want you to hear this clearly. You're in a privileged place, because you're in the company of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the prophet of exile who ministers amidst despair and drought and death. Pastor Carol has been leading us through the ministry of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and we've been talking about how the Babylonians came and they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the wall. They destroyed the temple. and they even captured a number of the people of Jerusalem, the creative and intellectual class of that great city, and they led them to Babylon. Ezekiel was one of those in that first deportation from Jerusalem to Babylon. And we learned that in chapter 33, the most persistent question the people of Israel are asking him is this: how do we live? How do we live without the temple? How do we live without our land? How do we live without our family of faith? How do we live in a season that feels so without God? And 25 years into his ministry with the people of Israel in exile, God gives him this vision of a gloriously restored temple that we heard Henry read the very end of. It's actually a vision that lasts 7 chapters. It begins in chapter 40, and Ezekiel describes all the different nooks and crannies of this temple, all the details and dimensions, before he finally gets to noticing a spring, a tiny trickle from the temple's foundation. And his guide leads him to walk in this spring when it's something that you can hardly notice, to then something that you can easily walk over, to then something that you need a wading staff to go through, then to a river that cannot be crossed. And this river is so abundant in life that even as it goes to the driest and most decayed of desert lands, fruit trees whose fruit is healing pop up on both banks. This river is so full of life that when it enters into the Dead Sea, the seas are such teeming with fish in such a way that fishermen are flocking from all over to come and cast a line. And the saints of the church have directed our hope and guided our reading to see Ezekiel's vision of this great river of life activated in that promise of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, when he was preaching in the Festival of Booths in John's Gospel, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty. All you who believe in me, drink. For truly I tell you, as the scriptures say, out of the believer's heart, out of your heart, will flow rivers of living water." A river of life flowing not just from the foundations of a place, but from a person and from a people who find life in him. God's grace and goodness spilling out of the details and drama of our own daily lives. A promise for renewal and revival for all who are thirsty, all who are desperate, all who cannot imagine life right now. That is the prophet's call, and that is the promise of Jesus as we find life in the Holy Spirit. The conversion of our imagination to see life in all people, in all places, in every imaginable situation. I know that word conversion is one that is loaded, and it is potentially triggering for some of you. Religious folks, we tend to have a habit of trying to shrink the goodness of God into something that we can use to control ourselves and to control others. But we shouldn't shy away from that word, because it is at the heartbeat of what it means to be Methodist, to be Wesleyan. It's at the heartbeat of John Wesley's whole vision for spiritual formation, this work you've trusted me to steward as your pastor of spiritual formation. Because John Wesley believed that we should be a people who are living into God's constant conversion until we are perfected in love of God and love of neighbor. Put a less churchy way, we all have got some growing up to do in Jesus Christ. We've all got some growing up to do. Young and old, those who are new to faith and deeply rooted, those who are experiencing abundant life right now, and those of us who feel dry and empty in an exiled land, God's Holy Spirit, in the flow of God's love and mercy and justice, is moving through all of us And this is the power of God to convert despair into hope and isolation into beloved community, apathy into selfless love, if we allow God's Spirit to flow in us and through us, and we don't block it, or we don't pull it just for ourselves and our own blessing and our own future, but we go where it sends us, and we allow it to connect us to the people that we probably never thought we would be connected to. And the fruit of this constant conversion God works in us and through us, friends, it's simple. The fruit of this is healing and wholeness. It's an invitation to a more integrated self and a deeper rest in your beloved identity. It's a way of undercutting the demands of our time for performance and production and the projection that you have it all together. The fruit of this healing is the renewal of beloved community. That God's Spirit is able to flow beyond the algorithms of our day and connect us not in our own curated communities of reality, but with God's people. And those, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, are truly happy. It leads us to see not only the desperate needs of our neighbors, but also our desperate need for them. The fruit of this healing is a vision and commitment to justice that gives us this undaunted courage to keep showing up, to keep protesting, to keep saying this is not okay and something's got to change, even in the face of incredible resistance, because we know that God's justice is like a river that cuts canyons through impenetrable mountains of stone. The constant conversion of our imagination to see connection and meaning and beauty in all people, in all places, in every imaginable situation, until all of creation is raised up to life in Christ. That's the work of a lifetime we call spiritual formation. And all that is needed from you is an openness and humility to go as God directs, an openness and a humility to go with the flow. For truly the gospel is this, friends. Wherever the river flows, everything will live. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
In response to the word proclaimed and to our faith constantly converted, will you rise in body or spirit and affirm your faith with me? Our affirmation of faith is found both in your bulletin and also in the United Methodist Hymnal number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on the website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plate as they are passed. This morning, we join in sympathy with former West End minister, Reverend Nancy Carol Miller-Heron, who's mourning along with her family the death of her husband, Roy Heron, who passed away on July 9th. A memorial service was held in Dresden, Tennessee on Saturday, July 15th. And another celebration to tell Roy stories is being planned tentatively for 1410 Rosa L. Parks in Nashville on September 30th, which would have been Roy's 70th birthday. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Font of life, you have promised us, a sometimes disillusioned people, that everything will live. When our hearts and our minds are in difficult and even empty spaces, you promised us a life abundant. This morning we come to worship grateful for that promise, thirsty for the waters of eternal life. We thank you for the abundance of summer and the time spent on vacation or other days off with loved ones. We praise you for the sacred space of car trips and planes and youth trips and tubing, for the joys of little ones squealing with joy and play. And even in those sacred spaces, we are aware of the deep hurt and the deep needs of our community. In the coming moments, we lift up those needs as we are aware of them, silently from our hearts to your care. For those who look around and see nothing but wasteland and destruction because of depression or mental illness, cannot see a life abundant. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the sick and those who care for them in homes, nursing homes, hospitals, and hospices. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who are grieving the death of a loved one. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our leaders, that they may have the conversion of imagination to see and give shape to something better for our community, state, nation, and world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our neighbors who live without shelter and those who are one paycheck away from being evicted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For victims of injustice anywhere. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our church, that we may hear your call to us and to be a font of life for others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in all of these things, we know you envision flourishing, even in a dry valley of bones. Reinvigorate our imaginations, call us to hope, and lead us always into a future with joy. May we always be so bold to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
invite you to be seated, and I'm going to ask our youth and adults who will be traveling this week to come forward. I want to share with you a little bit more about what our youth are going to be doing. They're leaving next Saturday, but I want to share with you that these youth and these adults before you are going to be traveling to be in ministry alongside Macon, a Methodist church in Macon, Georgia, Centenary United Methodist Church, and that they will also attend Youth 2023 with thousands of United Methodist youth from across the country, which is exciting. And so we have the opportunity and privilege to pray for them and to commission them into this mission and this experience. And for those of you who will be traveling, that you've said yes already to share your time and your talent and your gifts in this ministry with the saints of Macon and Daytona Beach, these are people that you will meet also, and they will be in mission alongside of you. And you have as much to learn from them as they have to learn from you. You go as pilgrims to see where God is at work already and to partner in the work God is already doing and to bring the gifts that are uniquely West End and are unique to your baptismal vocation. This is a privilege, and it does place on you a great responsibility, even as you do it in the levity of Christ. And so I want to ask you that you would be committed to this work in the same way that you have made this yes, said this yes to God in private, now so to say yes to God before the whole church. Will you agree to carry forward this ministry, friends, in the spirit of Christ, in cooperation with your fellow team members and leader, and with respect for the local church, ministries, and host? If so, say, I will. Wonderful. Friends, I invite you to join with me in praying for this team. You can find the prayer in your handout. Ever-present God, send your blessing on our youth and adults who will join you in service with the people of Macon, Georgia, and Daytona Beach, Florida. Surround them as they travel, whether they get tired, blisters, overwhelmed with information, or can't wait each morning to see what is new. Help them to know that you are with them. Give each team member patience and kindness. Strengthen this team with energy and endurance. Help them to embrace this opportunity to grow together as a group. Give them time to listen for you and time to share their lives with others. Help them to remember that they are serving your children of all ages. Help them to remember that the world you love includes people in gas stations, restaurants, individuals that they will be helping, and everyone they encounter. We ask all these things so that your name will be glorified throughout their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We can't wait to hear the stories of surprise and wonder of all the wondrous things God will do in and through you, friends.
Thank you.
Might you go forth into this wounded and weary world with the flow of God's Spirit to bring joy and peace and abundant life to all people in all places. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.